loves to come to be. And people gather around, and they all brought what they can bring. The revolution starts now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. It's time to play music on Air America Sunday night, and this week our guest is Tom Chapin. How are you?
I am so pleased to be here and in good shape.
Yeah, well, we've never met before. We have some friends in common. I was trying to figure out, I realized that I was on your email list, and I finally got to the bottom of how that happened, which is probably Local 1000.
It is the Traveling Local Musicians Union.
Yeah, which I've tried really hard to transfer to Local 1000. People that don't know what it is, normally if you belong to a musicians union, a local in the town that you live in, but you pay a lot of money in work dues around to other locals around the country. And there's a lot of reasons for Local 1000 to exist, but they've made it very, very hard for me, being somebody that's lived and recorded and produced records. When I tried to leave and join Local 1000, they've thrown up roadblock after roadblock.
Well, I figure you're a fellow traveler.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're in the same world. Those of us who make our living on the road. Mostly.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, most of it. I mean, and you know, it's getting to the point, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how Local 1000. Fairs, because for musicians now, it's more and more about touring. People are touring more, and they're touring later in their lives, and it's,
well,
it's
the
just
that,
one of those
the
deals.
Reason that John O'Connor and John McCutcheon really got into this was that the musicians union weren't serving those of us who are do one-nighters.
It
was,
right.
It was set up for symphonies. They were set up for in studio people who are in one place.
But if you did travel, you paid a lot of money in work dues to locals that didn't have anything to do with what you do. And you know, I make a record, you know, once every year and a half, and I make a lot of records by most people's standards. Some people only record every 2 or 3 years, and other than that, they, you have no business with your local wherever it is that you live. But we are about music, and you know, we're talking union, and you brought in a Weaver's Check, which I think is great. Actually, this may be the first time that they've been played
on
my radio show, which actually surprises me in a year.
But. Well, I got to tell you, Steve, 1958. There's three brothers living in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
And my aunt brings us a record called The Weavers at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
And these are boys who all knew music. My dad's a jazz drummer. But this changed our lives. Listen to The Weavers. And I got to tell you that they changed the face of music in America, because they're the reason that the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary and all the folk people all learned from The Weavers. I brought in something that's interesting song because to me, because it's about the big banks and the poor folks who are the ones that the money comes from, and who's making the money. And here we are watching every day how the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And this song just speaks to that.
The Weavers on Air America Radio.
Country from shore to shining shore, it really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer plowing his sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a knocking down his home.
But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for.
Silver that the miners sweating for.
I saw the seaman standing idly by the shore, and I heard the owner saying, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door, and the boats are stocked with silver that the seamen sweated for. Together and together make a stand. And we know those banks of marble, with a guard at every door, and we share those vaults of silver that we have sweated for.
Weavers on Air America Radio. That's so cool. It's about time we played the Weavers on Air America Radio.
You know, it's every time I do a record, I send especially the kids' records, and I send one up to Pete and Toshi up in Beacon, New York.
Right.
And within about 3 weeks, I get like three records of the Weavers or of Pete's.
Right.
And they always like send me back these amazing things. So I looking through the Weavers stuff, I had to go sort through about 15 CDs and try to figure out what song of the Weavers to play. I'm like, I was thinking Guantanamera.
There
was,
yeah.
I mean, I went through and I said, let me just do this one. It's short and sweet, and it's political in that wonderful way that they have, which is, it sounds great, and then you realize it's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, there's a whole generation of people, and so a lot of people tried really hard to make sure that the generation I grew up in didn't know anything about Pete Seeger, but by that time it was too late. He had already had too much of an influence on the people that came along behind him. Big Bill Brunzi, this track you were talking about, you know, it's funny how this stuff it comes around, and these songs are indeed timeless. And
well, Big Bill Brunzi, because we were, you know, the Chapin brothers started listening to the Weavers and then started our own group. Through that, of course, you find all this other root music. And one of the guys who I loved, because I was a finger pickings guitar player,
right,
was Big Bill Brunzi. As I also loved Reverend Gary Davis and those guys.
Right.
And Brunzi spent his last part of his life actually in Europe, where he's much better received than here in America. He was a little too slick for the folk revival, but he was a great player, great singer. And this is a song that's so timeless. I mean, the color of your skin in America is still a huge problem. Last Sunday's Times had something about how the unions and the union jobs are folding up, and who's getting killed? All the blacks.
Yeah.
And here we are, and that's what this song is totally about.
This little song that I'm singing about, people you know it's true. If you black and gotta work for a living now, this is what they would say to you. They say, if you was white, you're all right. If you was brown, stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I was in a place one night, they were all having fun. They was all buying beer and wine, but they would not sell me none. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, you'd stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. They went to employ me at office, the number I got in line. They called everybody's number, but they never did call mine. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, you'd stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. Me and a man is working side by side. This is what it meant. They was paying him a dollar an hour, and they was paying me 50 cents. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, stick around. But as you black, Oh, brother, get back, get back, get back. I hope built this country.
Big Bill Bernsey on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now.
Black man have to do this. Says if you was white, it's all right. If you was brown, stick around. But as you black, oh, brother, get back, get back, get back. I hope win sweet victory with my little plying home. Now I want you to tell me, brother, what you gonna do about the old Jim Crow. Now if you's white, it's all right. If you's brown, stick around. But if you's black, oh, brother, get back, get back, get back.
Yeah.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. And our guest this week is Tom Chapin. And, you know, we were talking before the break. You started out playing with your brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Harry was 2 years older than myself, and Steve was a year and a half younger. And it was, I was 12, Harry's 14, Steve's 11. We hear the Weavers. Listen to that record as kids do all summer long.
Right.
And Harry says at the end of summer, we could do that. And he got a five-string banjo.
That's why they call it folk music.
Exactly. He got a five-string banjo that had been my great-uncle Harry's, Harry Foster's, Harry Forbes, five-string banjo. Got it fixed up, started taking lessons and learning. And I got a K guitar for about $80. You know, took two hands to push the strings down. And
God bless Chicago Musical Instruments.
That's yeah, cool. And Steve first played a 10-string ukulele, a tiple, and then moved over to the bass. And for the next 10 years, we just learned our craft. And the thing about it was we lived in Brooklyn, New York, which to my mind is still the center of folk music in America.
Right.
We were 15 minutes from Greenwich Village, and that's when everybody was working over there. So every time we could scarf up a little money, we'd jump in the subway and go see
somebody. I live there now, and that's the reason that I live there. It's just for something, you know, it's the neighborhood that I always wanted to live in New York. So when I finally started, I live on the street that Bob Dylan's walking down on the cover of the Freewheel of Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And that's why it actually, I walked in. It's a little more money than I was planning on paying, yeah. But it's where it was, and it was perfect.
My record company's down there on Sullivan Street, Razor and Tie.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was by there the other day, and I was recording. You know, Michael Crumper is a friend of mine because we were the Artemis together, and he actually helped us produce this radio show when we started.
Did he really? Yeah.
Yeah, he helped put songs together for it, and it was me and Bill and Michael for quite a while. And I was recording, there's a recording studio on the fourth floor underneath Razor and Tie, and I was over there, you know, putting a harmonica on a friend of mine's record.
No kidding, great.
And it's, you know, the village has changed a lot, but it's still...
Well, I welcome him down, I'll tell you, it is, the resonance for me is huge. And in fact, so Brother Harry also started as a solo performer at the Village Gate, opening for us.
And, you know, have you ever noticed, if you walk down Bleecker nowadays, I stayed last summer... When I was thinking about moving here, I rented an apartment in the atrium there on Bleecker, and the marquee from the Village Gate is still there. It's it's Jacques Brel and Penny Arcade, which was the last two shows there, and it's still that. It's a drugstore now. It's
we,
a big chain drugstore.
We rented the Village Gate. The Chapin Brothers is after the Chapins after Harry left us, and my brother Steve and I had a band. After Jacques Brel, every night it was dark at 9 o'clock, the short show. And right. So Harry began our opening act and started writing those great songs. Yeah. You know,
well, this is this particular song. This is Harry, and this is called "Remember When the Music." Harry Chapin on Air America Radio.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire? And as we sang the words, it would set our minds on fire. For we believed in things, and so we'd sing. Remember when the music brought us all together to stand inside the rain? And as we joined our hands, we'd meet in the refrain. For we had dreams to live, we had hopes to give. Remember when the music was the best of what we dreamed of for our children's time. And as we sang, we worked, for time was just a line. A gift we saved, a gift the future gave. Don't you remember when the music was a rock that we could cling to so we'd not despair? And as we sang, we knew we'd hear an echo fill the air. We'd be smiling then, and we would smile again. Oh, all the times I listened, and all the times I heard, all the melodies I'm missing, and all the magic words, and all the potent voices, and the choices we had then. How I'd love to find had that kind of choice again. Remember when the music was the glow on the horizon of every newborn day? And as we sang, the sun came up to chase the dark away. And life was good, for we knew we could. Remember when the music...
Harry Chapin on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now.
And as we'd hum the melody, we'd be safe inside the sound. And so we'd sleep, for we had dreams to keep.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Tom Chapin, and, you know, we were talking on a break about collaborating on songwriting, which I've done a few times. There's a few people that I actually co-write songs with, but John Forster is someone that you collaborate with on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, I've always written by myself, but, of course, for me, music has always been a totally collaborative affair,
because
I started with my brothers.
Right.
And I was not a writer when I started. And Harry was writing a lot. My brother Steve was writing a lot. So I was just, you know, but you realize how much you learn by helping other people fix their songs.
Right.
And then I started writing myself. And then when I started getting into the kid stuff, 1988, my daughter Abigail was 8. Lily was 6. They'd outgrown Raffi, little kids' music. Not yet gotten into radio. And I thought, boy, there's not a lot of music for this age.
Right.
And I got together with a guy, a friend of mine, John Forster, and I said, how'd you like to do a kid's record with me? And he said, well, what's the idea? I said, the idea is it's going to be adult safe.
Right.
Kid friendly.
Yeah, and then that's, you know, we're talking about Dan Zanes was on the show, and Dan has, like, sort of carried that on, but it wasn't, believe me, my boys are 23 and 18 now, and, you know, and we got through Smurfs and Barney and a lot of stuff that was really hard to sit through. I mean, a lot of purple things that
we missed those
sing.
Things. We missed, because I was pre-Barney with my kids.
Yeah.
But we liked Raffi. Raffi was great for two-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then, so I began writing with John. John's a great theatrical writer, wonderful, can write anything.
Yeah.
Taught me an enormous amount about writing. This song that I want to play for you, because he has his own albums on Rounder, which are definitely adult records.
Right.
And in fact, Tom Lehrer, the great Tom Lehrer, said, you don't need me anymore. You got John Forster to kick around.
How cool.
And this is a song he wrote about that great moment when they were trying to make it okay to be gay in the Army, and then everybody punted.
And then they changed their minds.
Yeah, changed their minds.
This is John Forster on Air America Radio.
I'm Private Billy Parker. I love my Uncle Sam. By the way, I'm also gay and proud of who I am. I mentioned all of this to the recruiter in my town. And being gay himself, he told me what was going down. It's okay to be gay in the Army of today. Just don't say that you're gay or do anything that's fey. If they ask,
what's with you?
Which they can't, but if they do, zip your lip, don't say boo. And you're safe, they can't pursue. Though your silence per se now alerts them that you're gay. For the least PDA, they can strip your stripes away. They can bust you before you can say equality. Just for being what it's now okay to be. So, you'll have to serve your country in the closet. You'll have to serve your country in the closet. If you have the effrontery to wanna serve your country, you're gonna have to serve it in the closet. Senator Nunn was under the gun, so he launched a special probe, which found that gays upset your average normal homophobe. It can't be done, said Senator Nunn. Why not, said Bill and Al. You put the fruits in combat boots, and there goes your morale. What if they reupholster things? What if they cook and sew? What if they ask the straights for dates? What if the straight guys go? What if they change our social norms? Accessorize their uniforms? What if they get in scrapes and fights? What if they want their civil rights? It can't be done, said Senator Nunn. You can't please everyone. Freedom must be fought for, and that's the Army's mission. But if any gay would join in the fray, they do it on one condition.
They'll have to fight for freedom in the closet. You'll have to fight for freedom in the closet.
If you would serve your nation with your orientation, hide the Japanese sarong, can the Judy Garland song.
Freedom must be fought for in the closet.
In the privacy zone, we'll leave you all alone. We won't tap your phone unless good cause is shown. You'll be safe with your own. In this very special zone, in a zone that's better known as the closet.
So everybody back into the closet. Everybody back into the closet.
And when you're on maneuvers, you'll peek through the louvers at the straights who get to be exactly who they are. While we get to serve our country and maybe catch a bullet and possibly meet our makers in the closet.
John Forster on Air America Radio. That's, yeah, I see where the Tom Lehrer thing came from.
Yeah.
This song, I've always loved this song. And I actually, in my family, I was a little irritated that I didn't get to be on this. There was a Stephen Foster tribute record recently. And I'm actually related to Stephen Foster. And,
oh, you
and,
are?
Yeah, then my mother. It's the Collins part of it.
Yeah.
And he was Stephen Collins Foster. And my mother Rosa Collins, and we figured that out at one point. But it was this song is probably it's hard to say this about Stephen Foster. This might be the best of all the songs. I think it's the one that's been recorded, you know, by more different kinds of artists.
I think for the modern sensibility, this speaks to us so strongly. It's a fabulous song. But you go through his body of work. And it's a pretty impressive body of work for one guy back in the 1800s writing these things. And
yeah.
And they became everybody's songs way back before there was radio, before there was television, before there was movies.
It was very rare for somebody to be recognized as a songwriter the way that he was. He was just so good, and he wrote so many great songs. And their only income, he died penniless because the only income was from the actual sale of sheet music.
And that I think that that's what this song is about. This is one of the last ones he wrote.
This is Hard Times. This version is Scott Ainsley on Air America Radio.
As we pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears, let us all taste the hungers of the poor. song that will linger forever in our ears. Hard times come again no more. It's a song and the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Hard times come again no more. Seek mirth and beauty and music light and gay. There are frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks will say, hard times come again no more. Again, no
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now.
Oh, hard times come again no more.
Yeah, the revolution's back.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Tom Chapin. And that last track, that version of Hard Times, is Scott Ainsley. Who tell us about Scott Ainsley, because not many listeners may know.
I met Scott in 1981 on a show called Cotton Patch Gospel. My brother Harry was writing the music for. And after Harry died that July of that year, it actually ran in New York for a period. And Scott, at that time, was sort of an old-time string guy in string band. And a wonderful player of fiddle and banjo and guitar and singer. And then he took like the next 10 years to learn the Delta blues.
Yeah.
And he learned it so well that he wrote the Robert Johnson transcriptions.
Wow.
If you want to learn Robert Johnson, get Scott Ainsley's book. And he's a wonderful singer and songwriter, lives now in Brattleboro. And you can look online, Scott Ainsley, A-I-N-S-L-I-E, wonderful singer and player. And if you're lucky enough to take a guitar lesson at one of the festivals with Scott Ainsley, you'll do good.
Cool. This is you brought in one track of your own to play, and you've been making a lot of kids' records. I mean, you really sort of pioneered this, making kids' records that wouldn't hurt the adults that had to listen to them because they have children.
Well, it's really an interesting thing because I was a dad myself. I have a six at that time. I had a six and an 8 and a 6-year-old, and I realized first of all the kids are really bright.
Yeah.
They are so musical.
And there's a lot of music that's made for children that does insult their intelligence.
It insults them, insults the parents.
Yeah.
And so I said, boy, it'd be great to write a record that I like.
Right.
That my kids understand as well. And so it's the arrogance of a creative process. You say, let's write a record like a great Disney film for kids, or a great children's book, that when you're reading it to your kid, you're getting stuff out of it as well. Mm-hmm. And here's a track that I did with wrote with John Forster, who we've all met already, and Michael Mark, and we wrote the song about 20 minutes. We had an idea from an old spiritual, and we got our buddy Dan Zanes to sing on it.
Yeah, I've known Dan for a long time, and he's been a guest on the show, and he had one of the most amazing playlists I've ever seen. He collects like really, really obscure reggae and ska.
I heard that show.
It was reggae and the African stuff. There was two or three things I'd never ever. And I'm that kind of stuff. I mean, if it's older than like 10 years, I'm pretty up on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But he stumps me every time. He's an amazing guy.
He won the stump contest for sure.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people, and I've still not worked with Dan on one of his kids' records. And they tour now. I bump into him on the road he's done a service. There's a whole generation of parents out there and he's filled that gap.
He told me something when we were there. He said, I brought my daughter to your concerts and I'm real nervous about singing on this record. But he kills it.
That's great. This is Tom Chapin and all of those collaborators, including Dan Zane, on Air America Radio.
Walk the world now, children. Walk it now with me. Children, walk it now with me. Walk the world now, children, treat it lovingly, and the world will last forever and a day. Drink the water, children. Treat it lovingly, and the world will
world now, walk, walk, walk the world now, walk.
Chapin and friends and guests on Air America Radio. That's great. It's a great song.
Thanks.
Too.
Thanks.
It really sounds cool. And those kids do sound almost too in tune. It's almost a little unbelievable. They really sound great.
That's sing in tune, and they just it was great fun to do it.
Yeah.
And it's the members of the Pilgrim Baptist Church up in Wenayock, New York. It was really great.
Cool. This is available on Razor and Tie, and you have a website?
I do. It's tomchapin.com.
Yeah, and just check it out and see what's going on. And I always hear from you. I'm on your email list. So I guess this week's been Tom Chapin. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now. Good night.